Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Talking about a Sabbath is the one place where Luther changed or at least shaded the definition. To a Jew, the Sabbath was the seventh day. The day of creation that God rested from his labors. God rests, so we rest. At some point, the early church moved that Sabbath to the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection. Or, if you use the Gospel of John's language, the eighth day, the first day of the first week of the new creation, the light of that new creation is just beginning to spread. But to Luther, the Sabbath isn't about a specific day. It's about hearing and receiving the Word of God. His explanation of the third commandment states that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. In light of our gospel lessons these 3 weeks, you could say that a Sabbath is any time you receive the bread of life. And that Sabbath is not anything we do ourselves. We can't force a Sabbath, neither can we force its rest or its light. What Jesus says about a Sabbath is that it was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Because the Pharisees were constantly pressuring Jesus and his disciples for doing all kinds of things that they had labeled work on the Sabbath. Jesus would heal. They would glean pieces of wheat while walking too far. And all of these things, though, were good, both for Jesus and his disciples, and for the people that they healed or that they journeyed to preach the word to. But it broke the Sabbath. They were not respecting the command to rest. Jesus' words are part of what Luther leans upon for his definition. The Sabbath is not about our acts, because we can't do anything to force a Sabbath. But it was made for us. It's when God Himself gives us the bread of life. Now, God has been exceedingly kind in these regards. He's promised to be present, to supply a Sabbath in this meal. This bread and wine is the body and blood of Christ. If you approach it, you will receive it. The question, of course, is if we receive this Sabbath in faith, for our good, or if we receive it in unbelief towards our judgment? Do we hold what happens sacred and gladly receive what God so willingly gives us? Or do we despise it? Anytime the Sabbath comes, anytime we are offered that bread of life, we have this question of faith. But even then, it's still part of the kindness and providence of God that He has created these regular Sabbaths. Whenever two or three are gathered in My name, whenever we do this in remembrance of Him. When we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. But our Old Testament lesson today speaks of a different type of Sabbath. It's an irregular Sabbath, a surprising Sabbath. The scene is one of the great switches in the Bible, and it doesn't really make sense in some ways. Elijah has proclaimed a drought on the kingdom and has been miraculously kept with the widow of Zarephath, the flour and the oil that were enough for one last meal has lasted for 3 years while he stayed with her and her son. The son dies and Elijah raises him back from the dead. Eventually God relents and sends Elijah back to Israel. And Elijah confronts Ahab and 450 prophets of Baal. And he sits there all day ridiculing them. And eventually God proves himself by sending the fire down from heaven. And Elijah and all the people who have seen it seize the prophets of Baal and slaughter them. And the heavens then open up with the rain after 3 years. You would think that after such a demonstration, that Elijah's spirit would be full, that he would have eaten the bread of life and moved on to take care of Ahab and Jezebel. And if he could laugh and ridicule 450 prophets, he could laugh at a boast like Jezebel's letter, threatening to treat him like those slaughtered prophets. But he can't. Then he was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life. Sabbaths are strange. We tend to think that they are these mountaintop experiences. And yes, we've probably all had at least one of those. For a certain age group that was going to church camp. Or maybe you ran across a preacher that every word just worked. Or the soup kitchen gal who was on a mission to save someone. Or you had some type of mystical experience. And we tend to try and chase those experiences. But it's been my experience that as memorable as they might be, what they really do is leave us exhausted. We've been overwhelmed and realize just how small we might be. Or we've seen the light. And regular life just seems so dark afterwards. There's something about being in the presence of the glory of the King. Those songs of Zion thundering. Kind of like playing with a lion. It's perfectly fine until you see the claws. But that isn't a Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. The Christ of the Sabbath is not the glory, but the bread of life. Elijah has seen the glory, and he's scared that he might never see it again. He's seen the power, and he knows that he can't control it. And the next time that Jezebel comes, maybe the fire won't come down from heaven. So he goes a day's journey into the wilderness and sits down under the tree. And he begins to bargain with God. We've been there. Whether it's, okay, God, show it to me again. Or, God, spare me what's coming. Or some other peculiar request. Elijah's bargain. I'll never be on that mountaintop that high again. Take me now. It's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. And this is the purpose of a Sabbath. Because the Sabbath was made for man. As he lay down and slept, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. The Sabbath is when God knows our frame, when he remembers that we are but dust, that our days are like grass. And yet his steadfast love provides for our weakness. Arise and eat. And Elijah ate, and he drank, and he lay down again. And this is the purpose of a Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is made for man. And God can provide it just when we need it. And the angel of the Lord said to him again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." We bargain. We bargain to stay in the vision. "Let us put up three booths," said Peter. We bargain to stay on the mountaintop. We bargain for the power and the glory. The power and the glory were not made for us. The Sabbath was made for man. Because the journey is too great for us. So the angel of the Lord gives us his food. He gives us the bread of life. The Jews are constantly asking for signs. Paul says the Greeks seek wisdom. He's being nice. Jesus says that they lord it over them and exercise authority. James and John want the seat at the right hand and the left. We are constantly asking for the power and the glory in one way or another. Meanwhile, Jesus is constantly telling us to ask for the better stuff. Ask for the living water. Ask for the bread of life. Ask for the Father to be glorified. Ask for the indwelling of the Helper Spirit. Ask for a Sabbath. Ask because the Lord remembers our frame and the journey is too long and he gives us some bread for that journey. We need a lot more Sabbaths than we do those mountaintops. Because the Sabbath was made for man. Elijah rose, and he ate, and he drank, and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. We don't get to bargain our way out of the journey. We don't get to skip the journey as it's too much for us. But God provides for the journey. He provides the regular promised Sabbaths. And we should all make diligent use of the means of grace, as our confirmation questions would remind us. But God also provides us these unexpected Sabbaths. The Sabbaths that come when we're desperate and exhausted under a broom tree. And God provides what was made for us. The Sabbath of fine food. The bread of life. Enough for those 40 days' journeys. Enough to get us to the mountain of God. It's the Sabbaths that we need. Ask Him for that bread. Amen.